I have a most important question to consider in my message today. And this question will serve as the title or topic, title of the message. And here's the question, and I'll read my text later on in the message. But the question is this: when is a man ready to die? When is a man ready to die? Now, all my life, I've heard people say, well, he was ready to die. And then I've heard others say, well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to meet my Maker. We hear that often stated. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to meet my Maker. Well, he was ready to die. When is a man ready to die? Now, I do know this, that the great and important things in life are done but one time. All of the great and important things are done one time. We're born one time. We live on this earth one time, one life. We die one time. The Scripture says, it is appointed unto men once to die. After that, the judgment. And then we must face God and stand in the judgment one time. After that, it'll be eternity. Now, we have nothing to do with our birth. We're born one time, and we have nothing to do with that. And then we die one time, and we have nothing to do with that. The Scripture says man is born of woman, a few days, full of trouble. He cometh forth like the flower and is cut down. And the number of his months are with the Lord. God hath appointed his bounds so that he cannot pass. In other words, our death, my death and your death, is in the hands of God. He has fixed the date, determined the time, and the instrument of death is already prepared. But we do have something to do with how we die. How we die. We do have something to do with how we meet God in the judgment. Now, the Scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. So that indicates that I have something to do with this matter of preparing to meet Almighty God. My attitude toward the living God and my attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. Now that determines how I'm going to die. Our Lord Jesus said this, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. He was talking about he is the Messiah, he is the Redeemer. He is the same one who spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, well, when Israel asked me, who sent you? What is his name? What shall I say? And God said, tell them, I am, hath sent thee. And this is what our Lord said here in this passage. He said, if you believe not that I am, that I am God, that I am the Redeemer, that I am the Messiah, you'll die in your sins. So your attitude toward Christ, your attitude toward the eternal God and Redeemer determines how you'll die and where you'll spend eternity. Or our Lord said this to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So I have nothing to do with when I'm born. I have nothing to do with where I'm born. I have nothing to do with when I die or where I die. But I've got something to do with how I die and how I meet Almighty God. It has something to do with faith. It has something to do with attitude. It has something to do with our feelings toward God Almighty and toward His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you three illustrations from the Scripture. I'm going to go in the Old Testament and pick a man, and then in the New Testament and pick two men, and give you an illustration that deals, three illustrations that deal with this subject, when is a man really ready to die? Now, the first one is David. David is called in the Scripture twice, a man after God's own heart. So this is a man whom we know was ready to die whenever God was pleased to call him David was ready to die because he was a man after God's own heart. And then he's called the man who was raised on high. And then he was called the anointed of God. And again, he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, if you have your Bible, you can open it to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. And here you have the last words of David, the last words that this sweet psalmist of Israel, this man who was raised on high, this man who was anointed of God, this man who was a man after God's own heart, you have for your reading and learning the last words that he spoke on this earth. It is said in 2 Samuel 23, 1, "Now these be the last words of David." And down here in verse 4 and 5, we have them. Listen to them. "Although my house be not so with God, yet God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered and arranged in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation, and this is all my desire." This is it, David said. David didn't talk about the time he was anointed as a shepherd lad to be the future king of Israel. When David was on his deathbed, he didn't call to mind and remind the people of the great exploits and battles which he won, the slaying of Goliath, the defeat of the Philistines. Nor did he remind them that he was the one who brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. Nor did he remind them of his friendship to Mephibosheth and so many others. Nor did he remind them of the many years that he reigned successfully over Israel, made them one of the greatest nations the world's ever seen. No, when David comes to die, talking about his preparation and his readiness to die, reaching out to find some comfort and assurance, where does David take us? He takes us back to the foundations of the world. He takes us back to the eternal council halls of God Almighty. He takes us back to the time before the morning stars sang together or the sons of God shouted for joy. And here's where he finds his confidence, not in himself, not in his works, but in his God, in the faithfulness of God. He didn't find his confidence and assurance in the day of death, facing eternity, in his own faith, but in God's faithfulness. Not in his works, but in God's works in Christ Jesus. Not in his goodness, but in the greatness of his God. His confidence and assurance in the hour of death came from his faith in the covenant mercies of God. Do you have that faith in the covenant mercies of God? The greatness of God, the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, the purposes of God. David believed God. Like Abraham before him, David believed that what God had purposed, God was able to perform. Like Abraham before him, David believed that what he had promised to Christ, what he had promised in the covenant of grace, he would bring to pass. Preacher, you keep talking about this covenant. David talked about it. Paul talked about it. Paul said in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, he said, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." It's through the blood of the everlasting covenant that you're made perfect, that you're made acceptable before God, that you're made righteous in every good work to do His will, to do God's will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. In other words, what's David talking about here on his deathbed? A covenant, a covenant of grace, an everlasting covenant, a covenant ordered in all things and sure, ordained in all things, arranged in all things. And David, the great king, the sweet psalmist, the man after God's own heart, said, this is my salvation. This is my salvation. This is my desire. Well, I'll tell you what it is. The Lord God, the eternal God who declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. That God has given to His Son a people. In eternity past, before the world began, He gave His Son a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. And Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, became the surety, the everlasting surety of the everlasting covenant, a surety of a better testament, and His blood, the blood of the everlasting testament covenant, and He took upon Himself the full redemption of every one of those people. And that's the covenant David's talking about. This is what he's saying when he comes to die. I'm ready to die. Well, how do you know that you're ready to die, David? Where are you going to find strength for this awesome hour? Where are you going to find some confidence for this traumatic experience? Where are you going to find light for this dark path that you're about to walk? Oh, he said, the Lord God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And that covenant does not depend on me. It's God's covenant with His Son in eternity, ordered in all things and sure. And this is my salvation. This is my desire. Not what David has done or has given. I believe God, he says. I believe that God has purposed to have a people to populate the new heaven and the new earth from Adam's race through His covenant of grace. And I believe that He's had mercy on me, and by His grace I've been included in that covenant, and God will keep His word. That's my confidence. Oh, you don't find David going back to some experience or some decision or some work that he did or some deed he performed, some religious feeling that he had. He found his confidence in God. He found his comfort in the faithfulness of God. He found his assurance in the Word of God. He found his confidence in the person of Christ, in that covenant of grace. That's when a man's ready to die, when he can lay hold of and cling to greater things than this flesh or feeling or fickleness, foolishness, professions of faith, walking aisles, shaking hands, carrying on in the flesh. God is greater than these things. Here's what he's saying in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's where it all started. That's where it all started, which God promised before the world began. All right, the second person now I want you to consider is Paul. No use me talking about Paul too much. You know who Paul is. That great Pharisee whom God saved and revealed Christ to his heart. In me, he said. Well, Paul, knowing that he would soon die, wrote to Timothy from prison. And he said, Timothy, now listen to this. You're going to miss it if you don't listen. He said, Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be offered. Now, your better translations that are helpful tell us that he's saying, I'm ready to be poured out on the altar as a drink offering. As a drink offering. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now here's a man ready to die. We don't have any doubt about his salvation nor his readiness to meet God. Here's a man with great confidence. Confidence not in himself, but in God's mercy to him. And the key to this whole testimony, this whole statement, is found in two statements, really, that are generally overlooked. Now, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. We understand that. I'm about to die. That's what he's saying. My departure from this earth. He didn't say my death. He said my departure. But here's the first statement that people miss. He says, I'm ready to be offered. Or, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. Now, most of the Jews to whom Paul preached, Timothy and others, they understood what he was talking about because they knew what a drink offering was. We don't know what a drink offering is. Most of us don't. We've never taken the time to look it up. But it's found in Numbers 28, 7 and 8. Now, here's what a drink offering is. And this is what Paul is saying. When a lamb was offered upon the altar as a sin offering to God, a lamb was slain, its blood was shed, its body burned on the altar, which is a picture of Christ, which is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of these Old Testament sacrifices were pictures of Christ and patterns. God didn't save people through these blood offerings. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away a man's sin. These were pictures of Christ, and these people offered these offerings and sacrifices, sin offering by faith, till Christ came. He's the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. But here the lamb was slain, its blood was shed, and that was the sacrifice. That was the atonement. That was the sacrifice. That was the sin offering. But along came the priest and the people, and they brought a drink offering. And wine or oil was poured on the sacrifice. Wine or oil was poured on the atonement, on the sin offering, rather, the sacrifice on the altar. This wine and oil didn't have anything to do with the sacrifice. It didn't have anything to do with purging sin. It was a thanksgiving. It was a praise offering. It was added out of gratitude to God. And that's what Paul is saying here. The very thing, this was a drink offering. And this is what Paul is saying. Christ Jesus is my lamb. Christ Jesus is my sin offering. Christ Jesus is my sacrifice before God to take away my sin. But I'm ready to be identified with Him. I'm ready to be poured out as a token of praise to God and thanksgiving to Christ and gratitude to God. I'm ready to die for His glory. That's what he's saying. The time of my departure is at hand, but I'm ready. Because Christ, my sacrifice, has died for me, and I'm ready to join Him in death. I'm ready to die for His glory. I'm ready to be literally poured out, just like a drink offering, the wine and the oil on top of the altar where Christ died. I'm identified with Him. You see, as David died, he reached back to the faithfulness of God. He reached back to the covenant of grace. As Paul died, he reached back to the cross of Calvary, to the Lamb of God. And in God's covenant of grace, it was the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, both these men, one talking about the covenant and one talking about the blood of the covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. All the hope and confidence and faith that we have is in Christ. You see, Paul looked back with satisfaction. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He looked around with peace. He said, I finished my course. I finished what God gave me to do. And he looked ahead with assurance. And he said, henceforward, by God's word, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, here's the second statement that people miss. Paul faced death looking to Christ, his sin offering, and to Christ, his righteousness. You don't think this crown of righteousness was his righteousness, do you? Paul's righteousness? Why, this man who talked so much about Christ's righteousness while he lived, he would spend his dying hours talking about his righteousness? Don't be foolish. Paul, who talked about the righteousness of God in Christ in Romans 3 and the righteousness of God which is Christ in Romans 10, when he came to die, he certainly wouldn't be bragging about his righteousness. But Paul the Apostle found his comfort, his readiness to die, rejoicing in, looking to, resting in Christ, the blood sacrifice, and Christ, our perfect righteousness. Now here's the third person. When is a man ready to die? Heavy subject, isn't it? Mighty important. And when you read these men of God, men whom we know were men of God, who didn't just claim to be, they were men of God, and we find their foundation and their rock, it sounds a little different from all this, I've made my peace with God, and I'm ready to die because I walked the aisle and I joined the church and I was a Baptist or I was a Methodist or I was a Catholic or I had a feeling or I had an experience. These men who came to die, their last word had to do with something God had done, not something they had done. Something God had done for them. God, David said, made with me an everlasting covenant. Paul talked about Christ died for me and Christ is my righteousness. You can die in peace if that's your foundation. But here's the third man, Simeon. Luke 2. Now listen, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. We know a little bit about him. It says his name was Simeon. And it says here he was a just man, a devout man. And it says here that he was waiting for something, anticipating, expecting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. What is that? Well, he looked for the Messiah. He looked for the Christ. He looked for the Redeemer. For it says in the next verse, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. He'll not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ, God's Christ, God's Redeemer. The Savior of sinners, that prophet of whom Moses wrote. God spoke to him and God told him he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. What a promise. What rich, rich promises. Well, it says here that very day that Mary and Joseph brought the child to the temple, that very day that they brought him to the temple, Jesus of Nazareth, to perform that which was required in the law of God, God led this old man Simeon right down to the temple. God led him to the temple the very day that Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus to perform for him what the law required. And listen to what follows. Then Simeon took the child up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant die in peace. Let me depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Here's a man ready to die. Ready to die. He's not talking about his devout ways. He's not talking about his just ways. He's not talking about the years he spent waiting on the Lord. He said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to leave this earth. Why? Why are you ready? Why such readiness to leave here? I've seen the Lord's Messiah. I've seen the Lord's Christ. I've seen the Lord's salvation. By his own admission, Simeon was quite ready to die. And his assurance was in the fact that with eyes of faith, he had seen the Lord's salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you something here. Here's a man ready to go. He's talking to God. And you notice he's not bragging about himself. He's bragging on God's mercy. He said he blessed God. He took Christ up. First of all, the Holy Spirit led him there. The Holy Spirit led his path to cross the path of the Son of God. That's the way everybody is saved who comes to know Christ, everybody who savingly comes to know Christ and to know God in Christ, it's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's a miraculous work. It's not just a religious decision. It's not just somebody winning you to a movement or to an organization or to a doctrine. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. When He has come, the Holy Ghost, He'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's by the Spirit of God that men are born again. So the Spirit of God brought Simeon to that temple, and then he took up Christ in his arm. He took up Christ. He received Him. He embraced Him. And he embraced Him with the embrace of faith. He knew who He was. Like Paul, he could say, I know whom I have believed. He took Him up with the embrace of love. Oh, with what tenderness He held Him. He took Him up with the embrace of hope. He turned His back on everything else, on the sacrifices and the Sabbath and the ceremonies and the rituals. He received Christ. And then He blessed God, the fountain of all grace. He blessed God for His revealed mercies. He blessed God for this day. He blessed God for this hour. He didn't write to some soul winner and say, thank you for bringing me to Jesus. He blessed God for bringing him to Christ. And then He said, now let me depart in peace. And watch how He said it. Lord, You're sovereign in life and death. Let me depart. Let me depart. Let me. It's all in Your good favor and wisdom. In peace. I can die in peace now because Christ is my peace. There's no way a man can die in peace who doesn't have the Prince of Peace. He had a song in his heart because he has Christ in his arms. Let me die in peace. I've seen the Lord's salvation. Salvation's of the Lord and in the Lord and through the Lord Jesus Christ. When is a man ready to die? When he knows something about God's grace. When he knows something about Christ's death, when he knows something about the person of Christ through saving faith. Now, you can have this message on a cassette tape. Next week, I'll bring another message, 8 great precepts. This one, when is a man ready to die, and that message on the same cassette tape, send $2, we'll mail it to you. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.